Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Look, they've gone through the process as well. They've gone through the spring with these players. They've gone through training camp with these players. I'm sure they all have an opinion on who they think should be the starting quarterback, but I don't think I have to explain it to anyone else. It's my decision, and look, if it doesn't work, blame me. Blame me.
Coach, what can you tell us about?
I would say one thing. I think it's important to remember, like, what's good for the team today may not be good for the team weeks down the line. And so I think the challenge is you want to win every single game now, but also we're trying to build something special here in New England. So that to me was, that was a challenge.
The Afternoon Show with Christian Arcan and Andy Hart starts now on WEEI.
That was Gerard Mayo from earlier today. It's Christian Arcan here, Andy Hart. We are live at our Fenway studio. And I had a read for that, but I closed it, so I'll read it a little bit later. How about that?
Okay. Are we not Arcandy? Is that not sticking?
Heart canned?
I don't really like that.
Heart canned sounds like, yeah, that sounds
like I got fired. I don't care for that.
Does sound like that. It also sounds like a hereditary disease that people have. Yeah.
And you don't like our
my heart canned acting up again.
You don't like the Benifer Arcandy thing.
No, wasn't a big fan of that. By the way, we are in our Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, which is brought to you by your New England Ford dealers. Get going during SUV season by joining the Bronco family or get a great offer on America's best-selling trucks, the F-Series, official truck of the Boston Red Sox, who are not here yet, by the way. They'll be here in about an hour or so as they get ready for the Blue Jays. But right now we're talking about Gerard Mayo and what he had to say earlier this morning, or earlier this afternoon, I should say. It was around 1 o'clock before we came on the air that he made these comments in his press conference. He is going to be number one, announcing to the team tomorrow morning who the starting quarterback is. They've decided who it is. There's been a decision made, and the decision, as you just heard in that clip right there, was Gerard Mayo's and will be Gerard Mayo's alone. He is putting the whole thing on himself. If you don't like it, if it doesn't work out, you can blame me, which is Andy Hart pointed out last hour. Suspiciously similar to what Bill Belichick said about the decision to make a defensive coordinator and a special teams coach the new offensive coordinators 2 years ago for Mac Jones. So when you put it in those terms, not great, but I do think that he basically gave it away at the end there when he said, when he cut off Phil Perry, very rude, shut up, Phil, I'm not done yet, and said, hey, you know, what happens in week one may not be the best thing for what happens down the road, or it may not be the same thing. That means it's Jacoby Brissett. I don't think there's any mystery here. I don't think there's any need to speculate any further. He's made a decision, unless he changes his mind between now and tomorrow morning. Doesn't sound like he's going to. He's made his decision. The decision is the veteran's going
to
start.
So there's no way to spin that as an explanation if he pulls Drake May later.
Right.
Right? Like, there's no way you go down the Tua Ryan Fitzpatrick road and he's a he's sort of getting ahead of that story, right? Like the only way to view that is he's starting Jacoby Brissett, and then at some point he'll have, like I told you before the season started, what was best for the team then might not be best now, and what's best now is Drake May, and boom, that's Drake May's music, and everybody's happy, right?
Right.
Okay, that's the way I see it too. And everybody expects it. We said it yesterday. 8 out of 10 listeners can't be wrong. 8 out of 10 were like, yeah, I expect to see Jacoby Brissett as much as I might want to see Drake May. Now, we have all the professional experts. I think we played pretty much everybody yesterday. I saw Mike Lombardi was added to the mix. He would not play Drake May because the offensive line is just not good.
Right.
Now, nobody's going to explain to me exactly how you rationalize when you can play him.
What do you mean?
Well, he's not going to get practice reps, so he's not going to get better.
With the first team, sure, yeah.
Right. Well, very few reps at all. Mm-hmm. Backup quarterbacks don't get a lot of reps. Yeah. That's just the reality. He might run the scout team a little bit, although I don't know because Joe Milton might need those reps. So he's going to be like the Bailey Zappi plan.
Losing getting one reps to Joe Milton, I think that's going to be a problem.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then when is the offensive line going to get miraculously better? Is it because, I don't know, insert one of the names, Jacobs? I think he was one of the guys they claimed.
A couple of Jacobses?
Like, I know teams theoretically, everybody goes with this idea. Well, teams get better as the year goes along. So is the opposition. So Vadarian Lowe may get better from week 1 to week 5. But guess who else gets better? The right defensive end on the team he's facing.
Right.
Because he's been practicing and playing for 4 weeks as well. So I do not believe you will be better. I actually think you're going to be worse on the offensive line. Because I think odds are somebody's going to be banged up. Oh, Mike Onwenu's playing with a sore knee. He's not quite as quick. David Andrews is dealing with X. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to be worse on the offensive line. So when exactly?
It'd be tough to be worse than what we saw on Sunday.
Oh, not according to Gerard. He said that's overblown.
Yeah, well,
5 yards a carry.
Sure.
He said it's overblown.
Oh, right. Yeah, the offensive line was good, actually.
He actually said, without saying, that you often see a pulling guard, a tackle, and a running back all collide in the backfield like it's frickin', what do they call that, Keystone Cops back in the day? Like some frickin' silent movie where everybody laughs hysterically
because
there's chaos. Yeah, on the screen. But I don't believe the line's going to get better. So you can, where does the ration, is it just watching? Is it watching Drake, is it watching Jacoby Brissett get killed? And then you go, well, you've seen him get killed enough. Maybe go out there and not get killed.
Yeah.
Maybe you can run a little bit and protect yourself. That's the thing I struggle with. What exactly is going to lead to the transition when he doesn't get a lot of practice time, he's not going to be playing, and the offensive line could actually be worse down the road, not better?
Yeah, it's all fair. All of that's very, very fair, and I think that when you look at it like that, it makes this whole thing seem just a little bit more
mucky.
Mucky, yeah, mysterious, sort of whatever. But yeah, I think there's something to that. By the way, you mentioned the players that were picked up on waivers. The Patriots very famously had the number 3 waiver claim, which Elliot Wolf said they were going to be very, very aggressive with. They were aggressive. They picked up 4 guys. Linebacker Curtis Jacobs, offensive tackle Demontre Jacobs, defensive tackle Eric Johnson, and offensive tackle Zachary Thomas. Do you know anything about either of those two tackles?
Just what I read on the internet today after the Patriots claimed them, and they really have no NFL experience and therefore are very similar to
the guys they have now, right?
Or the guys they've acquired at this time in recent years. Tyrone Wheatley Jr., Vadarian Lowe, whatever. All these guys, even it wasn't at this time, but Calvin Anderson. They brought him like, oh, maybe he's better than he's being used in Denver. He can be more here. And so far, correct me if I'm wrong, it has not worked with anybody.
No.
Okay.
Not that I can think of off the top of my head.
And so they're due to hit on a waiver wire tackle.
Yeah.
Could be. Okay, spin zone. We're going to have spin zone sometime, turning this positive. They've been so crappy at acquiring O-line talent, they are due to get lucky.
Yeah, could be.
I like that.
That's not bad. By the way,
what we're resorting to now.
To make room for some of these guys, there were a couple more releases. Jalen Reagor, wide receiver, and returned that kick for a touchdown last year, has been released. Also, Isaiah Bolden, defensive back. He was a 7th-round pick maybe last year, the year before.
Well, last year, and he was the guy that had the bad concussion. Remember,
right.
They ended the Packers game because of it.
That's right.
Taken off in an ambulance and was sort of a guy everyone could root for. But bottom of the roster moves. Reagor, I think, is going to spark some people because there was a portion of training camp where he might have been the best receiver on the field for a while.
Is that right?
Which I kind of feel like I said at various points about everybody, and that probably tells you that really nobody's the best receiver on the field if everybody's taking their days of 2 or 3 days of being the best. But you have Marcus Jones. And if Marcus Jones is healthy, isn't he your lead returner? Isn't
I would think so.
You want? I mean,
he's who I would pick, absolutely.
Buddy Paul Perillo compares him to freaking Devin Hester. So if you have Devin Hester, you play Devin Hester. You don't play Jalen Reagor.
Yeah. I mean, his rookie year, he looked like one of the better return guys in the league, I would say. There's new rules now, so, I mean, who knows if he's cut out for
that. Whatever. If there's a guy I want looking up in the sky with his palms up catching a ball, it's Marcus Jones. I don't need a backup returner, and he was the seventh receiver. Plus, there's no saying he couldn't be on the practice squad or available. I don't know how many. I mean, he's a guy that flamed out in Philly. He flamed out in Minnesota. Now he's going to flame out here. I mean, he might be available whenever you need to call him.
Yeah. I'd imagine he'd get picked up at least on a practice squad somewhere at this point. But, yeah, who knows?
Not so sure.
Well, high draft
people
pick.
Lining up to get Patriots talent?
No, and that no one has signed anybody aside from Bailey Zappe, who's now on the Kansas City Chiefs practice squad.
Good for him.
How about that, huh?
I'm legitimately happy for Bailey
Zappe. Good for Bailey.
He seems like a really nice guy. I think for the most part, he's handled things pretty respectfully. Tough situations with Mac, tough situation with himself, the whole thing. And now he gets to go hang out with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes after he's been dealing with Mac Jones and frickin' Matt Patricia and, I mean, Bill O'Brien's a respected name, but Andy Reid is easily the best offensive mind he's been around. So go learn from him, and who knows, worst comes to worst, maybe you're actually playing for the Chiefs at some
point. Bill O'Brien may be a nice, respected offensive mind, but that certainly didn't work with either one of those two quarterbacks last year. So, yeah.
Plus, Bailey Zappe is now officially the closest of anyone that practiced with the Patriots to a Super Bowl.
That's true. That's very, very
true.
He could
easily get a Super Bowl.
Juju Smith-Schuster.
That's crazy.
Right? He's back on the Chiefs. Those two guys are going to be tearing it up on the practice squad.
Imagine if there is some point where Bailey Zappe is throwing to Juju Smith-Schuster on an NFL field. It's not going to happen.
In a playoff game? For the AFC Championship?
That's actually bad for the rest of the world because it means Patrick Mahomes is hurt and we lost out on fun.
Yeah, that would be unfortunate. Anyway, good for Bailey Zappe. I agree with you. I think I was dubious that he'd get picked up because they put him out on waivers last year and no one claimed him. And he's not really claimed on a team. He's on the practice squad.
Right.
But I wasn't even sure about that.
There
you go. And Carson Wentz is the backup. He could be on that. He'd be holding the clipboard early on in the season.
Yeah, Carson Wentz stinks.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and he's injury prone. He could get hurt in practice.
Definitely.
Bailey Zappe, one play away from being the backup to the greatest quarterback in football.
Mm-hmm.
The GOAT among current players.
There it is. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's go to the phones, talk to Kurt, who is on the Cape. Go ahead, Kurt.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
How you doing, Kurt? What's up?
Super.
Man, I'm doing good, man.
Sounds
I'm on
like
that, you know. So, I'm just saying, like, Mayo, right? We go get these two offensive linemen, I guess. I don't really know much about them and stuff like that. But I want, you know, we all want Drake May to play. I want him to play. I think he's a way better quarterback. But I'm hoping he does something like just get him 2 weeks and get him acclimated to getting how everything goes. And then get him ready with the book and get him going a couple of weeks just to see how everything going and get him in quick. And I think, because he's got no receivers and stuff. But I think with his running ability, I think he can get us more wins.
Yeah, he maybe can, Kurt. You're right, but you're going to have to wait at least a week because we all know at this point it's going to be Jacoby Brissett. That announcement's going to come tomorrow. Ultimately, I think that you will see Drake May play this year.
Yeah, week five. Yeah. I am sticking with my week five. I feel better about that. Again, another proclamation where people told me I was stupid and I was this and I was that. I feel like I'm right a lot. Just going to pat myself on the back.
I'm just going to let that one
somebody's going to
agree or disagree. Joe is in Melrose. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
Congratulations on the new show.
Thank you, Joe.
So, thanks.
I like it. I like it a lot. I want to see Drake May play. Yeah, no, exactly. I want to see Drake May play as well. I was seeing that Trent Williams, the left tackle for the 49ers, is having a contract dispute. I would offer the 49ers a third-round pick for him. I mean, normally you wouldn't want to do that for a rebuilding team, but you play Drake May for a year if he's on the team as opposed to having him sit for a year.
Yeah, I'm fine with that, Joe. I'm fine with trading some draft capital and getting a tackle in here, especially a good one. I mean, you know, it'd probably only be for a one-year deal. I'd be okay with that, especially if May's going to play a lot. If he starts playing week five, I'd much rather Trent Williams was there on the left than Vidarian Lowe or Chukwuma Okorafor or any of the other guys that Caden Wallet, like, not even close.
Yeah, in theory.
He's not a guy that you make a long-term investment in. He may not even want to come here. He may block a trade.
That's the biggest issue for me.
Right.
Now, timeline-wise, it's a little weird. But yes, if you want, you have money, you have draft picks, like you have the potential, go get him. But that's assuming they are trying to win.
Yeah.
We still have that whole debate. Because I was just thinking to myself.
Or trying to win, or at least trying to keep your quarterback from getting disemboweled.
Or they don't care. And they're like, we'll delay that. If we don't play him all year, we don't play him all year. That's where I'm not sure where their motivations are. Because obviously, it's sort of like the Brandon Ayuk thing.
Yeah.
He immediately becomes your best receiver. Like, he changes everything. Could you do it? Sure. He didn't want to do it. He said no. I could see Trent Williams saying no. Why would you want to go from the San Francisco 49ers, a Super Bowl contender, when you're in your mid-30s to, yeah, we'll let you protect Drake May for a year? Like, why? Why would
And then you got to go back out there again.
Yeah, I don't think there's any shot in hell he would want to do that. Plus, he's so good. He's a premium guy that I feel like almost any team would take him.
Yeah.
Any team, any contender would be willing to give up something to get Trent Williams. He's a badass, too. Yeah. If you ever watch highlights of him, he might be one of the scariest dudes in the NFL.
Mauler, like, yeah.
Other 300-pound athletes are afraid of him.
Yeah.
He's like the biggest in the room.
Yeah, no question. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Stiz is going to tell you what's trending. When we come back, Jacoby Brissett spoke to us yesterday. He thinks he's going to be the starter. Sounds like he's going to be. We'll get to that next.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, let's get you caught up on what's trending right now. Trending brought to you by Butchka Ski and Bike. The Red Sox snapped their losing streak last night. They beat the Blue Jays 6-3 at Fenway Park. Jarren Duran had a homer in the first inning, made a little history in the process, becoming the first player in MLB since at least 1901 to record 40 doubles, 10 triples, 20 home runs, and 30 stolen bases in a season. Greg Weissert got the win for the Sox. The two teams will run it back again tonight. First pitch at 7:10 from Fenway. Brian Baio expected to take the mound for your Boston Red Sox. He'll face off against Chris Bassitt for the Jays. WEEI will have the Mass Mutual pregame show for you starting at 6:10. Don't forget, you can catch both the pregame and the game right here on WEEI, or download the Odyssey app and take us wherever you go. Red Sox selected 44-year-old lefty Rich Hill from AAA Worcester yesterday. One outing in 2024 for Hill would make him the only active player to appear in a game in each of the past 20 seasons. The Patriots now have their official 53-man roster after yesterday's cutdown. Bailey Zappe was released by New England. He was picked up by the Chiefs earlier today for their practice squad. Kicker Chad Ryland also released. Joey Sly will now be the Patriots kicker. Wide receiver Jalen Reagor, lineman Antonio Maffey also will not return. And head coach Gerard Mayo met with the media earlier today when asked if the team had decided on a starting quarterback for week one. Mayo said that the decision had been made, but would be announced tomorrow. Again, trending brought to you by Butchka's Ski and Bike. Hey, skiers, boarders, and bikers, don't miss Butchka's 50% off Labor Day sale this Friday through Monday. Head to Butchka's Ski and Bike in Salem and Butchka's Bike in Nashua for the best tax-free deals on skis, boards, bikes, and battleware. Don't miss it. I'm Stiz. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoon show coming up.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Are you the starting quarterback of the New England Patriots?
In my mind, I am.
Does that mean you will be starting against the Bengals?
In my eyes, I am. I haven't heard anything differently, so that's what I got to go off of.
That was Jacoby Brissett with us yesterday on the maiden voyage of the WEEI Afternoon Show. This is what you're listening to right now. I'm Christian Arcand. That is Andy Hart. And seems like still to this point, even after yesterday, if I'm Jacoby Brissett, I'm thinking still no one has told me anything otherwise. In fact, Jerod Mayo may have tipped his hand a little bit there with his addendum to Phil Perry, saying basically what we do here in the first week may not be good for later on down the road, or vice versa. I screwed the quote up, but you know what I mean. Implying that the guy that we go with now may not be the guy that we're going with down the rest of the later on in the season, which in no universe does that make sense for it to be Drake May and then you pull him and put in Jacoby Brissett midway through the season. You only do that if you start Drake May and things go horribly wrong, and that is not the tone nor the tenor that Jerod Mayo had when he said that. So I just think that it's pretty obvious at this point to me. I think it's obvious to you as well. I think it's obvious to most people who listened and watched that press conference that the announcement made tomorrow is going to be Jacoby Brissett. If I was a bookmaker, the Brissett odds would be like minus 1,500 or something. Like it would be, you know, like Drake May. There'd be some serious juice behind a Drake May week one start, like very, very high. So that's where we are with that.
So quarterbacks are in the building, correct?
Yes.
I believe they are. The players are in the building. They're practicing. Like, isn't this awkward? Didn't we think we had kind of exited awkwardness because Jerod was going to be about no silos and communication and relationships? So, like, now you have Jacoby Brissett and Drake May, unless they already know. And then if they already know...
Do you think they already know?
I'm going to take him at his word that he wants to tell everybody involved, the individuals and then the team. So I'm going to say no.
Okay.
But it's just awkward. And I thought we had kind of exited this world of awkwardness, like hallway meetings potentially of Mayo and Van Pelt walking down the hallway while Drake May and Jacoby Brissett walk the other way. And everyone knows, he knows, I know, we know, I know. But
no eye contact. Everyone's like, got just, their head down walking by.
It's just so strange. And I understand this is not unique to here. These quarterback situations are weird. Whether it's colleges, you know, we're right on the cusp of different schools and two quarterbacks vying for playing time, and that happens all the time at that level before a guy steals a job. Hell, it happens in high school where there's this awkwardness of guys, well, do you know who's starting? Or did they talk to you? No, they didn't talk to me. Did they talk to you? Kind of situations. It's just kind of crazy. Especially when, as I said, they're on the practice field.
Right.
So QB1, I'm assuming today, when they line up, they're going to say, all right, first offense, get out there. Jacoby Brissett runs out, correct?
Right.
So everybody knows. So what are we doing here? Why couldn't he tell us?
There's only a couple of QB. So there were only a couple of QB battles, really, in the NFL this year, period. There's only like three or four. There's you. There's Pittsburgh, and Russell Wilson just won it. That announcement got made. Denver, Bo Nix. I mean, we're sure it was going to be him or Jarrett Stidham. I feel like Jaden Daniels had the job the whole time. I don't think there was anything really there.
I think I actually...
Is that it? Is there any more? I think that's it, right?
I mean, Caleb Williams was handed the job when they drafted him. They traded Justin Fields. Like, and then there's obviously all the...
Will Levis. I mean, they got rid of the other kids. So.
Technically, Las Vegas was kind of a competition.
Vegas, that's a good one. Yeah, okay. So Minshew and the kid there, O'Connell. Yeah, right. So that was another
I guess. But no, most places have established starters or at least people that... And the suspense was removed in Minnesota when J.J. McCarthy was lost for the season
right
due to injury.
That would have been one. I think that Darnold, that definitely would have been one.
That would have been,
now it's not, so.
Very similar to here. That one was very similar to the situation here.
Yeah.
Although I think Sam Darnold maybe still has more aspirations than Jacoby Brissett does. He's maybe not quite as accepting of his lot in life.
He's a lot younger than him, too.
Yeah, right? Yeah, and I think he probably still believes he can start in the NFL or deserves the opportunity to prove that. But no, most of the jobs were, and now they're all done. The only one that's not done is New England.
Yep.
And I think it's done. Everybody knows it's done. The players on the field. When Ramondre Stevenson lines up, he's like, yeah, I'm going to line up behind Jacoby Brissett because he's the starting quarterback. Who's behind David Andrews because he's the starting center. And that's how it works here in the National Football League. So it's very weird. And I thought we had gotten rid of all the awkwardness and lack of communication that was supposedly, you know, Belichick's problem and downfall.
Yeah. Well, not really.
Nope. Still here.
There's also this. Mayo, as we've discussed, and our fearless leader, Ken Laird, has just arrived.
Yes, with waters.
With provisions for us.
Yes.
We're dying in here. The announcement was basically made that, hey, Drake May has been playing better than Jacoby Brissett has.
Yeah.
Right? So now you're going to go in there, you're going to address the team, and you're going to tell everybody, yeah, the second best quarterback is going to be the one who starts.
See,
and that's, for the offense anyway, I think is going to be sort of an awkward thing, right?
But I actually thought Tom Curran did a good job describing that yesterday. I think he compared it to golf and himself acknowledging someone's a better golfer, but you play like 3 weekends in a row and you beat them 3 weekends in a row, but you still know the other guy's a better golfer than you on the totality. And
so who's the better golfer in this analogy?
The better golfer is
Drake May's the better.
And the guy who's been playing better the last 3 times we took the course is Drake May.
Okay, but then that implies that Brissett actually is better, and I don't think anyone really believes that he is.
Well, that's a separate issue, but he has the career to prove it, right? Like, he's thrown 52 touchdowns with 30 interceptions. Okay, he's got a decent touchdown-interception ratio. He's not a winner. He's never won anywhere he's been, but, you know, he's the more stable guy. And I did think of it that way. Like, you can watch some young golfer, but if there was, you know, if your life's on the line, are you taking the young golfer or Tiger Woods? Even though right now the young golfer looks better, I still might feel better if Tiger Woods had my life in his hands.
Well, I'll tell you.
Who would you rather have? Your life is in their hands in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
Drake May or Jacoby Brissett?
Drake May.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Bad analogy. Andy.
Bad analogy.
I've moved on.
I'll say someone who agreed, maybe not 100% with what Curran was saying or what you were trying to express there, but James White on his podcast says that he thinks what Mayo was saying made perfect sense. Here's James
Mayo
White.
Mayo said in his press conference that, you know, right now, like in a straight up competition, Drake May is outperforming, you know, Jacoby Brissett, but he's still the second best quarterback on the roster. And people were like, that doesn't make sense. It makes perfect sense.
You know, when there's
a competition, sometimes not the best player can win the competition. That's just the nature of sports. It don't matter, mm-hmm. you know, how talented you are, how good you are, just whoever shows up during that competition can go out there and win it. I think he's just saying, like, Jacoby's the best guy for our team, you know, as of right now. Can that change? Yes, of course. At some point down the line, if that may happen, if Drake, you know, goes out here, you know, whatever. If it's week 2, week 3, week 4, and he's just looking that good during practice, slicing up the defense, and the offense ain't really doing much, hey, why not? Don't throw the guy out there, see if he can make some stuff happen.
To follow the logic here, that implies that Jacoby Brissett is actually better than Drake May, which, again, I don't buy that. I don't think he is. And I don't think he's terrible. I don't think he's one of the worst QBs in the league. He's not Nathan Peterman or anything like that. But is he better than Drake May? Like, he's more experienced than him. Is he more talented? Does he have a better arm? Does he read the defenses better? Does he do any of those things? Is he more mobile? Like, I don't know. I don't think so. It doesn't look like it so far. And according to pretty much every beat writer in practice since the first 6 practices and my own 2 eyes watching these preseason games, it's been pretty obvious, I'd say, that it's Drake May. But listen, you know, this is a professional fudge. James White, by the way, on the Money Down podcast. It's James White, someone named Sojourn Shelton, and another guy named Warren Herring II, who they all look like football players. I'm not familiar with those other 2 gentlemen, but I certainly know James White.
So what James White just described was the situation if Tom Brady was still the quarterback in New England. And everybody was like, wait a minute, Drake May's been the better quarterback in July and August.
Right.
Doesn't matter. Because that was never a competition. I don't believe I ever heard Bill Belichick say it was a competition in training camp. He would say even Tom Brady has to reassert himself, right? And prove that he is still the best. But never was it said openly, verbally, and frequently that it was an actual competition. This year, we were told it was a competition. The whole camp was built on competition.
Yep.
And the quarterback position was a true competition. So that
and we were told who the winner of the competition was in
right.
so many words, too.
No, yeah. no, not the, I guess the winner, but loser.
Yeah, sure.
Drake May won the competition, but lost the war, or mm-hmm. won the battle, but lost the war, whatever there. And so what James White is saying would make sense with an established quarterback, or if the coach never said it was a competition, but the coach did say it was a competition, and this quarterback is not established. So don't tell me it makes perfect sense. It makes no sense. You can do whatever the hell you want, Gerard Mayo. You're the head coach. You said that today. It's your decision. And don't worry, we were going to blame you either way
right.
if this goes south.
100%.
Now, I don't even know what south means. If this fails, what does it mean?
Because
they're going to lose a crap ton of games
yes.
regardless of the quarterback. So when Jacoby Brissett plays, I'll take the opposition. And when Drake May plays, I'll also take the opposition.
Right. I think it has to do more with how they look, how the offense looks. If they embarrass themselves on national television, that sort of thing.
I kind of think that may happen with both quarterbacks because the offensive line stinks, and I've watched enough yeah. NFL football that oftentimes when the offensive line is horrifically bad, it derails everything you want to do offensively.
I'll tell you who should be thanking this offensive line, the wide receiver group, because they have really taken the pressure off of them, haven't they? I mean, like, no one's talking about how bad the weapons are anymore. It is all about this offensive line.
My buddy Fitzy put out a poll.
Mistake or something.
Yeah. Put out a poll, like, what are you most worried about? And it was all offensive line. It was like 88%. And you're right. If they had a competent offensive line, I think a lot of people would say the lack of established weapons
yeah.
is your next
playmakers, everything. Yeah.
Or maybe Alex Van Pelt. He may also benefit from. Because it's going to be hard to say, boy, that's terrible play calling, when really the line is getting killed in the run, killed in the pass, screen passes blown up, running into each other, lining up in the wrong spot, getting penalties. So there's a lot of people, you're right, that I think are actually going to benefit in a weird way from the offensive line being so bad.
Yeah. ESPN asked over 100 NFL players to rank quarterbacks according to a bunch of different criteria, including, you know, if Mahomes is going to be the new greatest of all time, he's going to pass Brady, you know, the top three current quarterbacks, most overrated, most underrated, biggest trash talker, etc. There was also rookie quarterbacks who will have the most successful career. That was one of the questions that was asked to this poll of over 100 NFL players. It doesn't say what position they were or what teams they were on or anything like that. And 100 players, not that many. You know, it's a small percentage of the
No, it actually...
Right, that's like two rosters worth.
But it did say like 25 teams were represented,
okay.
I believe. A good portion of teams was represented the poll. 25 teams were interviewed for this project, totaling 103 players.
Okay.
So really like four guys per team on average.
All right, that's good. I mean, that's a nice variety there, so fine. Top three current quarterbacks, it goes Mahomes, Jackson, Burrow. Most overrated, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, then Tua. Most underrated, Brock Purdy, Matthew Stafford, Jared Goff, etc. Biggest trash talker, that would be Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, and Aaron Rodgers. And then there was the most likely rookie quarterback to have a successful career, or the rookie quarterback that will have the most successful career.
Yes.
Here's
Drake May, did he finish second or first?
Here's the way the voting broke down. Coming in first with 34 votes was Caleb Williams.
Ooh.
Coming in second with 30 votes, Jaden Daniels. Number one and two in the draft. Makes sense, right? Drake May should probably be third since he was picked third. Number three with 10 votes, McCarthy.
Stupid.
Weird.
Stupid.
That's weird that he would be third when he was picked sixth or whatever it was. Other top vote getters with 8 votes, Michael Penix, who is definitely not starting this year and may not play at all. If Cousins stays healthy, I think that's a fair guess to make. And then, well, May's got to be one of these guys, right? No, no,
yeah.
No. The only other top vote getter with 8 votes, Denver's Bo Nix. My guy, I've been a big Bo Nix fan this whole time. Back when I thought you could get him like at the end of the first round, I was the biggest Bo Nix fan in the world. Then when it seemed like he was going to go in the teens, not so much, but either way, those are your vote getters. Williams 1, Daniels 2, McCarthy 3, then Penix and Bo Nix. I don't know if this means no votes for Drake May. Let's do the math. 64, 74 plus 16, that's 90 votes, so I don't know, the last 13 were spread out between Drake May, Spencer Rattler, Joe Milton. Who were the other quarterbacks? We did this yesterday. Who were the other quarterbacks?
There was one more. I forget. He's irrelevant.
Yeah, I mean, they are, but someone picked him to have the most successful career. So maybe it was someone they were teammates with, or I have no idea. But Drake May not really even cracking the top five, and there were only six that were drafted that high. What do you make of that?
Well, I hate it. I don't really understand it. I'm going to maybe defend my guy, Drake May. Is this as much about the Patriots as it is Drake May?
Jordan Travis was the other one.
Oh, yeah.
Jordan Travis.
Who's injured.
Yeah.
Had that bad injury.
And Devin Leary from Kentucky.
I kind of liked him. But no, I actually think this may be a more of a commentary on the Patriots and the perception of the Patriots than it is Drake May. I think they are seen as an absolute clown show bro.
No way he can succeed on that team.
Right. Like, they know Mayo is a young coach. They're probably dubious of Alex Van Pelt just because of sort of his career trajectory or lack of. Maybe even some of them have experience with him that sways them personally. And just the whole idea post-Belichick, the struggles, the offensive line, the lack of weapons, all of that. Now, obviously, all that can change in a hurry. We've joked about, you know, you draft a tackle and you sign a receiver and all of a sudden things look a little better for Drake May. Now, the flip side of that is there any chance they all just think Drake May stinks? That he's not as good as Bo Nix, Michael Penix, Jake? I find that hard to believe.
Hard to believe that.
Really hard to believe.
I mean, maybe they don't think he's as good as Williams and Daniels. And maybe one of those other guys, but none of them. You know, down there with Joe Milton and, you know, these other guys. Like, that's hard to imagine.
So Williams and Daniels are close. They both got over 30 votes.
Right.
We know that Drake May didn't get more than 7. Mm-hmm. 7 is the most votes he could have gotten.
How many do you think Joe Milton got?
I bet he got a couple.
He must have,
arm strength and the wow.
Yeah. Because if May had gotten 13, then he would have been ahead of Nix and those other guys.
Oh, yeah. No.
Those 13 were split
up between him and whoever else. The most he could have gotten was 7.
Yeah.
And I bet you Joe Milton got multiple votes just by guys who are wowed by the arm strength and the size.
Or guys that went to Tennessee.
There are biases.
Yeah.
I think it did say you're allowed to vote for guys on your own team if you voted. So
That'd be funny if Patriots were voting for Milton over Drake May.
Well, yeah, but not funny. Funny, not funny.
I think it's funny.
Not ha-ha. But no, I choose to interpret this as the rest of the league thinks that the Patriots are a circus right now. Mm. And, you know, Tom Brady himself couldn't fix it. That's how bad it is. And Drake May is just swimming upstream and it's going to be a debacle.
Well, now's when Jerod Mayo gets to try and prove him wrong. Or, you know, we'll see what happens we'll see with Jacoby Brissett. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll continue with your phone calls. And the Jeremy Swayman situation with the Bruins has hit a boiling point, I think, today with the Shut Up Mark podcast, getting some great guests as usual. They got Swayman on there, and they got him talking. He was singing like Tom Petty. So we'll get to that next.
This is Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
Live from Fenway, it's the WEEI Afternoon Show. Arcand here, Andy Hart over there. Don't get alone. We are going to continue with our Patriots discussion in just a minute, but we got to touch on this Jeremy Swayman situation, as it has had a development via the I Hate Mark podcast, and it's Mark with a C, not our Mark with a C, not Mark After Dark, if you remember that. Now, you remember the...
Oh, I do.
Mark James era here. Of
Mac and Hat on Saturdays.
Now, as you know, I was doing the night show over at the other place, and... And on the way home, it was Mark After Dark. Like, that was the only live show that was on.
He was a thing.
He was a thing. He was a thing for sure. So when I first saw that there was a guy named Mark with a podcast, I thought, oh, my God, Mark James back on the scene. Not him.
Mark Lewis.
Mark Lewis is his name. And he is, he's been talked about. You probably know who he is at this point, or at least have heard of him. He had the Matthew Judon interview the day that Judon was out there lighting up Elliot Wolf and Mayo and everybody. He now got a sit-down interview at that arcade bar over in over by Ruth Chris. You know what I'm talking about? Yep. I forget what it's called. Play Boston, I think.
Yes.
They had a setup there, and Jeremy Swayman was his guest. And Jeremy Swayman had a lot to say about this contract stalemate he's currently in with the Boston Bruins. Let's take a listen.
If you were to ask me that same question a year ago, I would answer it truthfully, and I would say it's scary. It's a lot of resentment towards people that want you to succeed, and when you're not getting compensated for your endless efforts and doing what you do best, it's a nerve-wracking feeling because it's your family you're fighting for. And the answer I'm going to give you this year is that I've educated myself and that I understand the business side of it all. And it's given me a complete new mindset of understanding the business and how to react to it. I understand the cap is going up and where it will be in years. I understand my comparables and how I can't ruin the goalie market for other guys that are going to be in my shoes down the line.
It's nothing I never I didn't even think of that.
I went to the School of Business for the University of Maine, so I love the business side of it all. And I studied it, and I love it. I'm doing classes still in Stanford, part of the NHLPA program, on business. I know that these experiences I'm doing now are going to help me post-career when I want to be a businessman, when I want to talk about serious stuff.
Jeremy Swayman, by the way, it's called the Shut Up Mark podcast, not the I Hate Mark podcast. I knew I was going to do it. It's the Shut Up Mark podcast with Mark Lewis, who you can find on Twitter at Mark Lewis is cool.
What'd you call it? I Hate Mark.
The I Hate My, like I Hate Steven Singer. That's what I was thinking.
Oops, Freudian slip.
It's not that. I don't hate him. That's the name of it. Shut Up Mark, not I Hate Mark. But, you know, whatever. So that was him there. That was him, Jeremy Swayman, talking about his contract and saying some pretty pointed things about the Bruins, about the negotiations and the business of hockey. I think this really all goes back to the team taking him to arbitration and the hard feelings he had from that, and how now he doesn't want to give them any quarter whatsoever. And to that I say, fine, Jeremy Swayman. You're asking for $10 million. Ask for $12 million. Honestly, like Scoops Keefe says he's asking for $10 million. That is not a ridiculous negotiating point for him. It's definitely not. So all the people saying, oh, Keefe, you don't know anything. You don't have any scoops. Why would he not want to ask for $10 million? You know what the market is. Everybody knows what this market is. The cap's going up. Maybe it's, you know, the 9.5 is what they're more likely to be receptive to. But what the hell does Jeremy Swayman care? He wants to ask for the moon, and he should. They've been dinking him around for a while, and I don't have any problem with him asking for more than maybe they were expecting. And I know they don't even have that much cap space. They only have like 8.6 in cap space. So even if he wants 9, I don't know. They have to move some stuff around for that to even happen. But that's not Jeremy Swayman's problem. Jeremy Swayman wants to get paid. Jeremy Swayman doesn't want to ruin the market for the other goalies, which, very nice of him, right? Very big of Jeremy Swayman to be thinking about all the other people out there, all the other goalies in the NHL. But really, it's about him. And it's about his value and him believing that he's worth a certain number, and also not really wanting to play ball with the Bruins because they've been dinking him around for at least 3 seasons now. And he's probably sick of it. And now he's coming to the table, and he's got an agent who's a ball buster, and here we are. And he laid it all out there on the Shut Up Mark podcast. So thoughts on that, Andy Hart?
So if he just wants to bust the Bruins' balls and it's personal, I'm all for it. I generally side with players in all these situations because they have limited windows, limited opportunities, the whole damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
He sounds like a dink. He sounds out of touch to me. He sounds like he...
out of touch to who?
Because he sounds like he thinks he plays baseball or football. He doesn't. He plays hockey. Hockey.
What's the difference?
It's different. Does he want the comparables? Show me all the goalies who've never won a damn thing, are barely the starting goalie on their team for the first time, that are worth market-setting contracts. Because there's two goalies that make $10 million a year, correct?
Yes.
Are they young goalies that are up and coming like him? He's taking a quarterback approach to this, which God bless him if he gets it. If he and his agent map this out and they think they can do it, God bless him. In the NFL, the next quarterback is the highest paid quarterback. Doesn't mean you're the best, right? We've learned that over the years.
Mm-hmm.
That everybody's like, wait, why is Patrick Mahomes the eighth best highest paid quarterback? Because that's the way it works in football. The cost of doing business, the way the cap skyrockets. The cap in the NFL goes up whatever it is, $10 million every year, virtual certainty, or more. The NHL cap, not as quickly rising. It's a harder cap. There are a lot of differences there. Now, there's guaranteed contracts, which is also a difference.
Mm-hmm.
But he, to me, sounds like, do you remember when Jonathan Papelbon was spewing this stuff? Like, I owe it to the next generation of players
and
to go to the market.
And all that other stuff, sure.
That's, again, he sounds...
I was on his side then, too.
He sounds like, which it's more realistic in baseball and football. That's how business is being done. I think if he wants to do comparables, I think he just opened the door for the Bruins to piss him off even more. Okay, we'll do comparables. You think you're freaking Carey Price? Do you
better than Carey Price right now?
Right now, maybe. Yeah. That's not
how
it works.
Now is when he's signing the contract.
The comparable is when the guy signs the contract.
Fine.
So he is taking a perspective from another sport, and he's a smart businessman. He may shake this up. Sounds like he has intentions of sort of shaking up the way business is done in the NHL.
It doesn't seem like
that's
he's going anywhere. Yeah,
great for him.
Agreed.
Now, and the Bruins have screwed the pooch here. by trading away their other goalie.
Right.
They need him. Right? They need him a lot.
And he knows,
has leverage.
Knows that, yeah.
And that's where maybe, God bless him, he can actually change the way business is done and bring that next young quarterback, next young goalie, next young star player, resets the market every time. Right? Because that's the way it works in baseball. That's mm-hmm. the way it works in football. That is not the way it has necessarily worked in hockey. You had to be actually kind of the best to get the best deal. Hell, the NBA does it too. The next great guy gets the big deal. We learned it with Jaylen Brown, highest paid player in the history of basketball. Was he the best?
No.
No, he couldn't even make the Olympic team.
Yeah.
He's not. So I appreciate what Swayman is trying to do, but I'm not sure it is fair within the confines of the business culture of the NHL. I think he's trying to break the market, and we'll see if he's successful.
Yeah, and I hope he does, honestly. And I hope that the Bruins have to come crawling back to him with their hat in their hands and that they have to pay him. Because honestly, like, if they hadn't taken him to arbitration, I would bet the farm that even with all of his fancy business classes at the University of Maine up in Orono and whatever he's doing in Stanford
Brag.
Now too, all that stuff he's doing through the NHL, even with all of that, if he had a better relationship with the team, I bet he'd take 8.5. You know, that's what Hellebuck's making in Winnipeg. You know, there's a comp for you right there. It's probably a little bit more in line than someone like Bobrovsky or someone like Vasilevsky,
yep.
Guys who have won cups. You know, sure, fine. So if that's the way things had progressed, if they hadn't taken him to arbitration and busted his balls 2 years ago, then maybe he'd be saying, you know what, I like these guys. I want to make it work. I want to be here in Boston. Guys love to play in Boston, right? How many times did Bergeron and all these guys take less money just to stay in Boston? It happened over and over again. I could see Swayman saying that if they hadn't treated him that way. And since they did, they made their bed, and now they got to sleep in it. You know, like, that's basically it.
That part I like.
Yeah.
So. I love people who are vindictive and hold grudges, and when they get hit with a hammer and then they finally pull the hammer away from the other person, they hit them even harder.
Yeah.
I love all of that. And if that's what he's doing, then I'm very appreciative of his approach.
I'm appreciative of it regardless. I'm a big Swayman fan. I think he should get paid.
You just want to pay everyone.
I want him to be the goalie here for a long time. I wanted him to play over Tuca in that Islander series. I wanted him to be in the playoffs instead of Allmark both years. And I'm glad they finally stuck with him, even though they almost didn't believe in him this year either. They put Allmark back in game two of that series. So, like, If I'm Swayman, I don't feel a lot of love coming from the Bruins. And if I'm not feeling that, then I'm not going to show any back. And that's what he's doing, and I think it's great. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. You got thoughts on Jeremy Swayman. You got thoughts on the Red Sox, Alex Cora, and, of course, Gerard Mayo and the Patriots. We'll get to all your phone calls next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number
number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.